Okay, today is Daf Lamed Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Akiva and Ahuva Silver, Le'ilinish Mazal and Menachem Ben Tovia. For all intents and purposes, the Sota portion of Masechta Sota is over. From now to the end of the Masechta, the Sota portion is over. From now to the end of the Masechta, we're going to discuss a lot of different topics in the Torah: Egla Rufa, Berachas Kahanim, Hakel, a lot of the rules about the Kohen warning the Bnei Yisrael when they go to war, if people are too shy or too scared to fight, or they just built a new house, all that is going to be coming up.
Why in Sota?
Because it's going to start with the following two lines, and it's going to go off on a tangent. Why? Here we go. The Mishnah says, Elu ne'emrin b'chal lashon. The following things can be said in any language. Parsha Sota, not the portion that's written and that's erased. That has to be written in Hebrew, like any portion of the Torah. But the whole discussion that the Kohen says to the woman, did you know that I'm going to make you swear that you didn't do anything? And all that can be said in any language. What else could be said in any language? Vidumeiser. Vidumeiser, what's Vidumeiser? Vidumeiser is on the fourth and the seventh year. On Erev Pesach, a person cleans out his house. What? No, not Kol Chamira. A person cleans out his house from all Meiser. He says that he was Mekayim all the mitzvahs of Meiser properly, and he gave whoever he had to give to. So you see already. And then the next one is Kriya Shema, Tefillah, Berachas Hamazon. All that can be said in any language. And Shavuos Ha'edus, if somebody has if you know that someone has testimony that could help you out in court, and he refuses to come, you can make him come swear. That whole give and take, making him come swear. And Bezin says, if you don't have any testimony, swear to that effect, and if it's a lie, it's going to be a problem for you. That all can be said in any language. And the last one, Shavuot HaPikadon. If you give your friend, please watch my pen, and then you come back an hour later and take it out of my pen back, and he says, what pen? And you say, what do you mean, what pen? The pen I asked you to watch. You could make him swear. You'll bring him to Bezin, and Bezin will tell him, you know, if you're telling the truth, dot, dot, dot. If you're lying, dot, dot, dot. That could be said in any language. So you see, you're ready. And then we're going to have a whole list of things that can only be said in Lashon HaKodesh. So you see, you're ready. You see, you're ready that we're going to get off the topic of Sota. On Amud Beis, when the Gemara begins, the Gemara is going to ask two lines. How do you know that Sota can be said in any language? The Gemara is going to give an answer. How do you know Sota can be said in any language? And as far as I can tell, we will say goodbye to the Dinam of Sota and explore other issues. That's how it happens. Okay, now, why is Vidui Meiser called Vidui? Vidui Meiser? Right? What are you basically doing? You say that I took care of all my mitzvahs of Meiser. I took care of it all. The reason why you do it those years is because it's after the years of Meiser Ani. Right, so I took care of Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani, Truma. I took care of it all. What? So why is it called Vidui Meiser? So the Sefornu has an amazing pshat. The Sefornu says it in Parshas Kisavo, where this Vidui Meiser comes up. He says because you're saying Vidui over the fact that you are confessing of the sin of the Bechors. Because had the Bechors not sinned, they would have remained with all this Meiser. They would have been the Kohanim. So therefore what? So I saw Reb Pelkowitz and Sefer on the Sforno in English, he just expands on it. In the footnote, he says, because in every house, Mustama would have had a Kohen. Every home would have had, pretty much, every home would have had somebody. So you wouldn't have to go through all this. It's in the house. Give it to your son-in-law. Give it to your son. It's in the house. So you say Vidi over the fact that I have to go through all this rigmarole. Find the Kohen, find the Levi, find an Oni. Wouldn't have happened otherwise. So for that reason he's saying Vidi. Rav Pinkus, in his Sefer on Yomim L'Royim, has a shot that's a little more holy. And he says it's on page Shin Ayin, in his Sefer on Shin Ayin and Shin Ayin Aleph, in his Sefer on Vidui, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, where he says, you can't have Vidi by yourself. You can't have Vidi to yourself. You can't confess to yourself. You have to confess to somebody. So who do you confess to? You confess to Hashem. Right? He says, Maisa Havidi, Amiris Chatoshi, Avisi, Pashati, Eina Maisa Sha'adam Osa Beino Lobin Atmo. You can't confess to yourself. That doesn't make any sense. Vasher Mahave Labitu, Vasher Mahave Labitu, who are you confessing to? I'm sorry. Vasher Mahave Bitu Lacharata Vitsaral Maisa Haroyim. You're confessing for your sins. Vidui Mahuso Hadiburius Vikashi Yashir Bein Adam Chote Labori. What's the purpose of Vidui? To give yourself a better relationship between you and Hashem. That's the purpose of Vidui. Ha'adam balef ne'akadosh baruch hu, a person comes to Hashem, va'amalo, he says to him, Ribono shel olam, chatasi, avisi, pashati, asisi, kach v'kach. That's what Vidui is. It's a confession between you and Hashem. U'mavata b'zeh she'beretzonu l'skor v'lo b'chazara. And what do you want to do? You want to become close to him. What's Vidui? It's an opportunity to come close to Hashem. U'be'emes. As etzem hadin shel vidui matzino below shayches lachet klal, we have vidui now without chet at all. You know where? Who idin shel vidui ma'isrus? The Sforner said it's because of the mechors. That's a little bit of fart. That's a little bit dochak. It's not to do with chet. Says Rav Pinkus. She'adam is vadal of Hashem. A person confesses va'omer. Shemavar ma'isrus of kedin. I did what I'm supposed to do. I took care of all my ma'isrus kedin. What is that? That's an opportunity to get close to Hashem. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's why it's called vidui. We associate vidui with tshuva, because the only other place it comes up is vidui ma'aseh. But lav dafka, it's only related to sin. It's related to relationship. So you can have relationship by vidui ma'aseh as well. That's what Pinkus is for. Okay. No, no. That's a mitzvah.
It's also a form of
something. So why do you have this kind of relationship only by ma'aseh? That's a kasha. Okay, now, Tosfos says the following thing. Tosfos says, what do we say? It's on the list of things you could say b'chal lashon, shma, tefillah, and benching. You could say b'chal lashon. Tosfos asks, what about halel and brachos, brachas ha-mitzvah, brachas ha-peiros, which you could also say in any language? Why are they on the list? Why are they in this Mishnah? So Tosfos answers, very difficult answer. Tosfos answers, because for those, you don't have to understand what you're saying. Tosfos says, the third to bottom line, V'nira, dahani ne'emorin b'chal lashon, afilu eina shomea. Even if you don't understand what you're saying. Hilkach, lo damu lahani demasnithan. They're not like what's in our Mishnah, da amrinan dafka bilshonam. So the other, halal, it doesn't make a difference if you understand it or not. You're yotze even if you don't understand it. But these, you have to understand what you're saying. The Karen Ora just answers. No, you know why those are not on the list? Because they're included in tefillah and benching. Halal is a part of davening. Halal is included in tefillah. And berachas ha-peiros and berachas ha-mitzvah are included in berachas ha-mazon. And that's why they're not mentioned in the Mishnah. But Tosfos is pshat, very difficult. As a matter of fact, the Magen Avraham holds like Tosfos. The Magen Avraham paskins that way. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't. The Mishnah Berurah holds like other Achronim that say as follows, that the Mechaber says in Simen Samach Bey, Telchus Kriyas Shema, Yachal Lekrotzu B'chal Lashon. You could say Shema in any language, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'davka Shemeivim B'osa Lashon. You have to understand, you want to say it in English, you're a Baal Tshuva, and you don't know how to read Hebrew, that's fine, say it in English. You can't say it in Chinese. V'hu hadin b'tfilah berachas hamazon kiddush berachas hamitzvos peiros halel. He says it all. Everything has to be that you understand it. V'chol zeh mitar hadin avol mitzvah min hamuvchor hu dafka b'loshen kodesh. The best possibility is saying loshen kodesh. V'chei kotzav habach b'simen kuf tzadik gimel. To kuf tzadik gimel, very interesting. Kuf tzadik gimel is hilchus benching, and there. There's a machlokas, by the way, between. You have to understand Hebrew, right? So now we said you have to understand the English. Now do you have to understand Hebrew? That's a machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah. Rashi says no, Hebrew is so special you don't even have to understand what Rabbeinu Yonah says. No, you have to understand what you're saying. Listen to the Mechaber. The Mechaber says as follows: Shnayim she'achlu, two people ate together. Afal pisha berachas hamotzi poterechas chaveiro. Even though by berachas hamotzi you could pater your friend, mitzvah lecholik sheyvarech kol echad berachas hamazon la'atzmo. Everybody should bench by themselves. B'med Devar Mamur. When is that true? Kishahayu Shneim Yodin Levarich Berachas Hamazon. That's if they both had a bench. Aval in Eino Echad Yodea. In Echad Yodea V'Hashin Ein Yodea. What if only one knows how, one doesn't know how? Doesn't know how to bench. Then there, what should you do? Mavarech HaYodea. The one who knows how should bench. V'yotzi Hasheni. And he'll be motzi the second guy. Im Mavin Lashon Kodesh. Ela She'ena Mavin El She'ena Yodea Levarech. The second guy knows Hebrew. He just doesn't know how to bench. Which is not like Rashi. Rashi says Hebrew is so special you don't have to understand it. The Mechaber is not passing like Rashi. V'tzarech l'chavin milu b'milu l'chol ma'ashi yomik. You have to listen to every word and hear what he says. Right?
It sounds like you can bench.
You should.
Yourself, but even if you don't, it didn't say you have to understand it if you're benching yourself.
What?
You only have to understand if you're being yotzei to someone else.
Okay, that's a good point. So the Levush says that the whole machlokas between Rashi and Rabbi Yona is only if you're holding from Shemeika Ona. But if you're going to be saying it yourself, it doesn't make everyone would agree. They don't have to understand what you say. Everybody would agree to that. That's not optimum, but everybody would agree that it would surely work. Right. Now, why should that be? Listen to this. The Yairus Devash says, this is the Yairus Devash, Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz. He's talking about davening in other languages. He says as follows, Yireh b'chol yom l'espal dover ma b'tzorcho. Right, every day you daven for what you need. Kifi hischadshus chadashim l'apkarim. Every day is a new challenge, every day is a new adventure. Hayom al parnasa, today it's parnasa, machar al hatzlacha, besura, chedoma, lefi makrim, hamischachim, whatever gets thrown your way. Every day is new challenges. Im bal torahu yomer b'lashon ivri. If you can, you say it in Hebrew. V'im lo yomer b'lashon shemadaber ish v'ish kilshono. Much better to say it in whatever language you understand. V'kach yispalo mikiras libo. You daven from the wall depth of your heart. V'zeh yaseh mideh yom b'yomov. Afal b'kein yotzi dey tefila, you yotzi tefila. V'yishma shekosvo b'mishlei, and it goes on and on and on. It's okay. You can daven in any language as long as you understand it. That's okay. But having said that, listen to the Chassam Sofer writing. He was writing for a certain type of person. It says as follows. It's in Shuvas Chassam Sofer. It's in Kuf Tzad Gimel. Kasef. Afal pi shamas bal b'chol lashon shehu shomea umeivin yotza. Even though if you daven in any language that you understand, you're yotzei. Mikol makum ein lano lehispal ki im b'lashon hakodesh dafka. You should really only daven in lashon kodesh, you know. And then he talks about the hanashim. He's not talking about people that are bali tshuva. He's not talking about those types of people. He's talking about people that would be the opposite of bali tshuva, right? Trying to find excuses not to be so religious. So the hanashim hamisnagdim lazeh, people that are against that. Kishem shirotzim lishkiach zichron Yerushalayim, just like they want to forget about Yerushalayim. Kach rotzim lishkiach lashon kodesh miYisrael, they want to forget about Hebrew, right? Pen yigalu bizchus shalosh. Hear this? Pen yigalu bizchus shaloshinu lashonam. You hear this? Right, he's talking about, you know, the reformers and the terrible. So we're not talking about people like that. That's just very historically interesting. We're not talking about people like that. In a chenami, you can. Then the Chassam Sofer has another tshuva where he says, even though it's true you're yotzei, Hebrew is still preferable. Lashon HaKodesh is still preferable because the there are certain kochos in the words, which will get lost in translation. They're just going to get lost. Simple. It's a simple. It's not a criticism on anybody. It's just what it is. So if you can, the best thing is to daven in Lashon HaKodesh. If you can't, of course you should daven in any language you understand.
How about the Aramaic portion? Is that the same
thing? That I don't know. Also, the Chassam Sofer has another reason why you should daven in Lashon HaKodesh. He says, because when you go to the king, you even though the king can understand five languages, you're going to him for a Torah, right? But Lahavdil, when they go to the Pope can speak 15 languages. But his home language, you'll get the most, it'll be the most effective, right? The language that he grew up with, his first language, you always get the most effect because he understands it the best. That's Kavi Yachol, that's how Hashem treats Lashon HaKodesh. It's really his language. Of course he can speak every language. It's really his language. So you want to get the most out of your davening. The best thing is to speak daven in Lashon HaKodesh. And before we go on, Chavetz Chaim is not frightening, it's powerful. It's in the last page of the 10th perek of a sefer called Machne Yisrael, written by the Chavetz Chaim, which is about all different topics. So the tenth perek is about bitachon. And there he says, he's talking about davening to Hashem. He says, V'gam tefillah zu einyan adafka b'lashon HaKodesh. We're not talking about now about Shmon Esrei. You don't have to daven b'lashon HaKodesh. El afil b'lashon shemurgu bo menu'urav. Whatever language you know from your childhood. Ach ha'ikar tzarech shelo yachaser bo shnei dvarim. As long as you remember, you can't miss out on two things. Allah, first of all, shetiyya mi'amak ha'lev. It should be sincere. V'lo me'asafa v'lochot. Not just to mouth off. You can get yourself to cry and be really heartbroken about something, all the better. Right, the Gemara says all the gates are closed, but the gates of tears were not closed. That's Aleph. Beis. Know where your tefillahs are going. Language? Hashem understands any language. He doesn't care. Hashem wants your heart and he wants your intentions. That's all it is. Now, it's true. You should have an Lashon HaKodesh, there's a text, and Hashem has a Gedola, have Kochos, that is Hashem's own language. That's all true. Chavetz Chaim saying is also true. Right? Hashem knows it all. He can hear it all. He understands it all. Just have two requirements. It's sincere and you know where the tefillahs are going. That's the Chavetz Chaim. Yeah. Okay. all right. I think we can go on now. All right. Next. The Elu Nemrin B'Lashon HaKodesh. These are the following things that can only be said in Lashon HaKodesh. What are they? Bikurim, the text of the statement you make when you bring Bikurim. The Chalitza, the text of the Chalitza process. Brachos klolos, brachos v'klolos, the brachos and klolos that were first said when the Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael and they went to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. What? Right. That's you know who asked that question. The Lishma Bilimudim asked that question. He asks, "What do we need to know this for?" It's only happened one time in history. I need to know that this happened. That was done in Lashon HaKodesh. The answer is, it's a beautiful answer, the answer is because all the Makoros, how do we know that you have to say all this in Lashon HaKodesh? It's all going to be learned out from that event. It's all going to be Gzeirah Shavos from that event. So that's why it's in the Mishnah. That's the Makar that everything else has to be in Hebrew. And the Gemara is going to ask, well, what about the Har Gerizim Har Eval? How come Shema doesn't have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh for that reason? And the Gemara is going to have an answer. So they're all, this is the Makar. That's why it's in the Mishnah. Right. Next. Berachas Kahanim has to be in Hebrew. Berachas Kohen Gadol. There was a bracha that was said on Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol. Also had to be in Hebrew. Parashas HaMelech. That's Hakel. Parashas Egla Arufa. That has to be done in Hebrew. Right? We didn't spill the blood. Right? All that has to be done in Lashon HaKodesh. Umashuach Mochama. When the Kohen who's anointed is going to tell everybody that there's a war coming and whoever's afraid, whoever just got married, that all also has to be done Lashon HaKodesh. B'shashem adabar la'am, when he speaks to the people. Now, Mikru Bikurim Ketzad, what's the story with Bikurim? You say, V'arnitzav amartzav, ne'ashem alakecha. U'lahalan hu omer, that's one pasuk by Bikurim. And lahalan hu omer, but by Hargrizim and Har-Evel it says, V'anu halavim v'amru. Ba'lahalan Lashon HaKodesh, avkan Lashon HaKodesh. Xereshava from Har Gerizim and Har Eval to Bikurim. Bikurim has to be in Lashon Kodesh. Chalitza, Ketzad, what about Chalitza? So it says, V'ansa v'amra. She'll answer and she'll say, U'lahalan hu omer, and by Har Gerizim and Har Eval it says, V'anu halavim v'amru. Ma'alahalan b'lashon HaKodesh, afkan b'lashon HaKodesh. Rabbi Yehuda omer, V'ansa v'amra, no, we have a different makar for Chalitza, V'ansa v'amra, kacha ad shetiyama b'lashon kazeh. It says the word kacha, right? So saying, meaning has to be in Hebrew, like the text of the Torah. Has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, like the text of the Torah. What's the difference between these two pshatim? So I saw someone has a pshat. What if you speak in Lashon HaKodesh, but you deviate from the text? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be no good. According to the Chacham, it would still, according to the Tanakhama, it would be okay. Yeah.
If you look at the pasuk in context,
yeah.
Right, the word kafa doesn't mean go on sabah. Kafa goes on.
I know. The comma's in the wrong place. Right. I know. But the Gemara does it all the time. Now, why the Mishnah is going to go now and tell you exactly how the brachas went and how Grizim and Arevel, I don't have an answer. I don't know. But, here we go. Brachas v'kolos ketzad. What's the story there with the brachas v'kolos of Parshas Kisavo? It's first mentioned in Re'eh, but it doesn't happen until Kisavo. Right? Re'eh, nasati lefnecha mayom brachu klala. What's that? What's going to be a few parashas later in Kisavo? So it says, Ketzad, Kivin she'avri Yisrael the Yarden, when the Yisrael crossed over the Yarden, uvo'el ha'grizim vel ha'revel, and they came to ha'grizim and ha'revel, she'b'shomron, that's in Shomron, she'b'shad Shechem, that's next to Shechem, she'b'et elon emore, that's next to elon emore, she'nemar ha'lohema, how do you know that? Ha'lohema be'evra Yarden, because it says that they just crossed the Yarden, u'lahalen hu'omer, and later on, it says, not later on, earlier it says in Parshas Lech Lecha or Parshas Vayera, the Yavar Avram Be'eret Ad Makom Shechen Ad Elon Amore. Ma Elon Amore Ha'omer Lahalan Shechem, just like over there it's Shechem, Af Elon Amore Ha'omer Kan Shechem. So to hear it, Shechem. So just, we could talk about 1 minute about Shechem. I have the Daf Yomi sends out this, the Ma'oros of Daf Yomi has unbelievable, it's mamish frightening, What the Gedolah had to say about Shechem. So first of all, Shechem is a place that is destined for misfortune. That's first of all. Rashi says in Parshas Vayishlach, I believe, that it's Rashi says that. Why? Dina was abducted there. Yosef was kidnapped and sold by his brothers there. The kingdom of David HaMelech was split there, resulting in the establishment of Israel, of the kingdom of Israel. Rav Chaim Palagi says, quote, that he notes that the entire city of Shechem, quote, bears the mark of sin, and therefore never merited to have a Jewish settlement. That's what Rav Chaim Palagi says. He says that somebody once wanted to build a yeshiva there in Shechem, and he started building it, and then he died, and then there was a dream, and he said that the history of Shechem is a wonder that only Hashem understands it. Then there's a story with someone who was a student in Volozhin, says he lived about 160 years ago. His name was Rav Shlez, and he writes, he has a sefer called Niflaos Mei Toras Hashem, that since the brachos and klalos were given on Har Grizim and Har Evel, and these mountains are close to Shechem, it was meant as a warning not to sin, because otherwise the sins of will befall Shechem. Shechem's right there. So this is the first place that the klalos are going to hit is Shechem. It's right there. So the Kaftav Averach says that when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he knows that Shechem is the burial place of Yosef HaTzadik, which has been desecrated in the past few years. And when he went there, he didn't want to walk near Shechem because he wasn't sure exactly where it was. Maybe he didn't want to walk on the caver. Also, this is where the Mizbeach first stood. We just said it was in Shechem. Because we're going to see in a minute, the Mishnah is going to say that when they, after Ha'grizim and Ha'revel, they took the stones and they built the Mizbeach right there. So it was a Makom Kodesh. It was a Mamash, a Makom Kodesh. Lastly, Reb Chaim Palagi says that there were Reb Yosef Cairo, notably, who gave an Isser, a ban on anyone to live in Shechem. And anyone to live in Yafo. There was a ban on by Reb Yosef Cairo to live in these two cities. So Tzitz Eliezer just says, He didn't think that was a lasting something. It wasn't al pi kabbalah, and it wasn't because of sins. He just felt that the yeshuv at that time was so precarious. There were so few Jews. It was so hard. What are you going to live in another place for? Stay here in Tzfas and Tveria with us. And that was the ban doesn't apply today. Assuming we could live there, can't even live there anyway. But it doesn't apply. No, that was only for those times, for those specific reasons. What? I understand it's in Arab hands now, but even still. There was such a ban at one point. So Tzitz Eliezer said it was only because of that one specific reason. They didn't want the yeshuv to be even more spread out and more sprinkled and more sparse. Live together, and then we could thrive together. Yeah, what were you going to say? That's all. Okay. Next. Now back to the story of the Hargrizim and Harevel. Shisha Shvatim Ol Rosh Hargrizim, but Shisha Shvatim Ol Rosh Harevel. Six Shvatim went up one mountain. Six Shvatim went up the other mountain. the Kahanim, the Levium, and the Aron were in the center. Even though the Levium were one of the tribes that went up one of the mountains, Menashe and Ephraim here were, I believe, they were not counted as two. Anyway, it doesn't make a difference, because either these are the elders, or these are the Zakenim. Either way, there were Levium up the mountain, there was still Levium down in the center. And the Emtah HaKahanim, Makifin is HaAron, the Kahanim surrounded the Aron, V'Halavim is HaKahanim, and the Levium surrounded the Kahanim, V'Chol Yisrael Mikan El Mikanim. The whole nation was on either side of the mountains. Shenemar V'Chol Yisrael V'Sekana V'Shotra 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 Omdim Mizeh U'Mizeh La'Aron. Hafku Paneim Klape Har Grizim. They first tore toward Har Grizim, U'Paschu B'Bracha. And they started with a bracha. The brachas are not mentioned in the Torah. The Torah only mentions the klalas. But we learn out, the Mishnah here says it straight out, that there were brachas first. The Mishnah only says, or this, or that. But now, but we knew that the bracha, right, the Torah says brachas and klalas. The bracha, the Torah only describes what the klalas were, but there were the same brachas, just said in positive. Baruch ha'ish asher lo yaseh pesach l'maseicha. Right, blessed is the person who doesn't make an avodah zarah. V'elu onin amen. Everybody answered amen. Upafku Panam Klape Har Evil. They then turned to Har Evil. Upasku Beklala, and they started off with the Kala and said, Aruhu Isha Shayasapesal Mazeka. Curse is the man that does that. The Elu Ve'elu Onin Amen. And everybody answered, Amen. Ad Shagomrin Brachos Beklala, until they were all finished. Viachakach, and after that, Heviyues Havonim. They brought the stones. These Ubono Es Mizbeach, and they built a Mizbeach. Visaduhu Besid. And they lined it with lime, some kind of plaster. The kastru alav is called divrei haTorah b'shivim lashon, and they wrote the entire Torah in 70 languages. Shenemar, like it says in Parshas Devarim, the kasavta al ha'avonim is called divrei haTorah hazoz be'er hetev. Right? Why in 70 languages? I don't know. It's sort of like alluding to the fact that there will be a galus. And right, and if anybody ever wants to, it's a machlok, is what was written on these stones. Was it just the Tayag Mitzvot? Was it the entire Torah in 70 languages? Either way, it's Mais and Nisan. How could you fit 70 languages of either of them? Who wrote that? How long did it take to write that? So either way, we're talking about Nisan here, but why is it being written in 70 languages? The Pashtus is so that any time a Jew comes to the stones, they can learn the Torah. So what are you saying? There's going to be a Gullus? And there's going to be Jews speaking French and English and Spanish? If we never leave Eretz Yisrael, it's never going to happen. So the minute they walked in, they're already being told, basically, that they're going to be thrown out. Well, it's not so far-fetched. They knew that. The not Lewis Havon, and they took the stones, and then they went back to Gilgal, where they were camped, and they returned. Okay. Next, Parsha Sota Menolam. This is the last reference we're going to have to Sota in Masechta Sota. Parsha Sota Menolam. How do you know that the Parsha of the Sota, the give and take between the Kohen and the woman, could be done in any language? How do you know that? Dichsev Amar HaKohen LeIsha, because he says Rashi. Really, it's El HaIsha, right? You say to the woman, B'chalashon Shehu Omer, whatever language she speaks. It can be said in any language. Tanu Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan said, not only that, Mashmiin Oso B'chol Lashon Shehu Shomas, we tell her in any language she understands, Al Mahi Shoseh, on what she's drinking, Uba Mehi Shoseh, with what she's drinking, Ama Nitmeis, on what did she become Tameh, how did she, why, Uba Mehi Nitmeis, and with what, how, we'll explain all that, Al Mahi Shoseh, why is she drinking, Al Iske Kine Vistira, because she was warned and she was closeted away. Ubamehi shows it, and with what? The Mekida Shalcheres, with a cheap cup, right? An inferior, dirty cup, right? Not like the fancy goblet she allegedly served her other man, right? Not that kind, the worst kind. And Almab Nidmeis, why? Al Iske Sechog Vialdus, because she was acting childish and with levity and frivolity. Ubamehi Nidmeis, and with what? Beshogig Obamezid. Was it Peshogig or Bemezid? Rashi says, maybe they told her, Gesund, maybe they told her the husband died. Someone told her the husband died, so it was Peshogig. Right? She lived with another man, she thought my husband's dead. So I'll marry this guy. Or Beones or Beratzon, or was it she forced, or was it willing? So why did they ask her that? Why did they go down that road? V'kol kach lama, why? Shelo lahotzi laz al mayim hamorim. We don't want to slander the water. We want it to work. So if she thought this guy was her husband, she didn't do a sin. Someone told her the husband died. This guy walks in, right? So she doesn't know. He could have been. He was in the ocean. He was out. So the question: how's this theory then? How is your kino? Hey, Bezin did it. You have to figure out logistically how this happened. But she was innocent. The only thing she's accused of is believing the rumors that her husband died. So that's not guilty. A few daf earlier, Rashi had a different way how it could be a shogeg, which was she thought it was the husband. Right? And here Rashi gives a different reason. Right? She thought it was the husband. She didn't know. It's dark. She didn't see. She didn't realize. And also, whether or not she was forced, because if she says I was forced, of course the waters aren't going to work. She didn't do a sin either. Okay. It makes a big difference because she's not a sin if she thought he died. Let's say they told her he died. We saw him, he was in the boat, the boat sank. Happened a month ago. Right? This guy comes along and says, I'll marry you. She says, okay. She didn't do a sin.
Well, what happened if she just thought he died? She didn't hear
from him. If it's legitimate, what would make her think he died?
Let's say,
if it's legitimate, then it's not a sin.
Let's say, went to work and come back.
Okay, so then if it's a legitimate thing that she believes he died, then you can't fault her. Then the waters won't work. Right? Then the husband comes up, how could you think I died? Right? I'm taking you to the basement, they're making you drink soda water. So take her. It's not going to work. She was innocent. Vidu Meiser, we said has to be said, it could be said in any language. Minolon, how do you know? Dechsiv, v'amartel lefnei Hashem alokecha, ba'arti ha-kodesh min ha-bayis. I got everything out of my house. I'm clean, like we said. V'yalef amira misota. And we learn out this amira from sota. B'chol lashon shu omer. It can be said in any language. So amalei of zvid labaya v'leilef amira milavim. Why don't we learn out the amira here by vidui meiser to the amira of hargrizim and haravel, which had to be in lashon hakodesh? So the Gemara says, no, malahalam b'lashon hakodesh, afkam b'lashon hakodesh. Just like that had to be in lashon hakodesh, so maybe the vidui meiser has to be in lashon hakodesh. Would you come up with... with that drasha from Sota? What's wrong with the drasha from Hargrizim and Haravel? As a matter of fact, that's the drasha that we used all along. So the Gemara says, no. Donan Amira Gredasa Ma Amira Gredasa. We learn Amira alone and Amira alone. In other words, no other words. However, by the Levian, the Ain Donan Amira Gredasa Ma Aniya Ma Amira. We don't learn Amira alone from Amira and Aniya. Right? By Hargrizim and Haravel, it says Amira and Aniya. Speaking and answering. So that's already an extra word. By vidi maisa, you don't have that word. Therefore the limud is limited to sota. And because we said we spoke about amira and ania, we go off on a further tangent, and as follows: Tanya, Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, Adam Omer Shivcho Bikol Namuch. A person should say his shevach, his praises, softly. Don't brag about your good qualities. The ganuso b'kol rom. But your bad qualities, that you should broadcast everywhere. How do you know? Shimcha b'kol namuch. How do you know that? Min vidui hamaiser. We learn that out from vidui hamaiser, which we'll explain in a minute. And ganuso b'kol rom. How do you know you should say your ganus in b'kol rom in a loud voice? Mimikra bikurim. We learn that out from bikurim. Now the Gemara says, ganuso b'kol rom. The pshat is, because when you say vidi meiser, what do you say? You say, as Rashi says, lo avarti mitzvosecha v'lo shachachti. I didn't do a thing wrong. I'm so great. As we said, that's only amira, which denotes a lower level of speaking, of more softer speaking. However, by bikurim, we also have the lashon of by Bikurim, we say, what do we say by Bikurim? We say, what? Right, Vanisa Valmarta. Vanisa Valmarta, which implies a louder speech. And what do you say over there? Arami Obedafi, look where we come from. So, right, the Imahos' father was Lavan. That's our lineage. So that you should say loud. That you should broadcast. Okay? So the Gemara says, wait a minute. The Genuso Bikol Rum, is that really true? That you should broadcast your flaws? The Amar of Yochanan Mishur Mishur Ben Yechai, if they matzvit tiknu tefila belachash, why did they institute davening should be quiet? Why did they do that? You know why? Kedeshul Levayish, the Ovi Avera. Not to embarrass the Ovi Avera. Because during davening, Mistama, you tell Hashem what your Avera is. We don't want to broadcast that. Keep quiet. It's the same with Shurim Bayechai. One's Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Shurim Bayechai, and one's Rabbi Shurim Bayechai right here. So what do you mean you're supposed to be loud? You see, you don't broadcast your Averos. You do that quietly. So what do you mean you should say your Gnus, Rabbi Yochanan, but don't be so loud? So the Gemara says, you're right. The Torah didn't distinguish where you bring a chatas and where you bring an ola. It's both brought on the same part of the mizbeach. So when somebody's leading an animal down to that part of the mizbeach and everybody's watching, ooh, look at this, this guy did a chet. Well, maybe not, maybe it's an ola. An ola's not brought for a chet. So we don't want to broadcast that. So since a chatas and ola is brought in the same spot, what do you see? We don't go out of our way to broadcast things. So what do you mean you're supposed to say, I run it over and over so loud everybody should hear you? What do you mean? So the Gemara says, you're right. Lo tema genuso. You're right. Don't say it means your genus should be said so loud. Ella, ema, ta'aro. Your tsar should be said loud. How terrible is it that we came from Lavan? It's not a genus. It's unfortunate. That you should tell people. Tell people your matzav. People should know your situation. You know why? Kiditanya. Vitame tame yikra. We tell about the Mitzorah, we announce that. You know why? Tarchlo diatairo l'rabim. We let people know the guy's the Mitzorah. We don't want to hide it. V'rabim evakshim olav rachamim. And the rabbim will daven for you. V'chol misha irbo davar. If you have a problem, tarchlo diatairo l'rabim. Tell people. V'rabim evakshim olav rachamim. Rabbim will daven for you. Okay? So, first of all, the Be'er Sheva asks, why does Rabbi Yochai say that why are we misakin that you should daven softly? Don't we learn that? Isn't that a din from Chana? Chana daven quietly? What do you mean it was a takana? So, two answers to that question. The Maritz Chaya says that, you see from here, this is one's more fundamental than the other. The Maritz Chaya says, you see from here that everything all the Inyone Nevi'im are all called takanas. Ain't a chenami. It's a din from Chana, and it's a very early makar, but it's called a takana because that's what they call it. That's one answer. An entirely different light. The Yalkut Meiri says no. It says if not for a takana, I would have thought that Chana is a das yachid. Chana happened to do that. Why should that govern what I do? Because Chana did it. Everything someone did in the VM it becomes a halacha. No, either the takana. Maybe she's the impetus for the takana. Right? Maybe they learn from her that that's the best way to daven, but who would think that I have to do what Chana did? So therefore, it's a takana. Now, next. Right, you move your lips. No, but then they didn't hear what she was saying. They didn't hear what she was saying. She was davening softly. So if I would have thought, okay, so that's what Chana did. That's what I should do. So the Gemara in Brachas, the Chavdal on the base, it says, if somebody davens so loud that he can hear himself speak, he's mikat me'amuna. Right? What? Hashem doesn't hear you. You have to speak louder. And if you speak very loud, if you daven and you yell, you're even worse. You're called a Navi Sheker. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that. So I need Rav Shimon Bayechai here to tell me you have to daven softly. Anyway, you have to daven softly. Right? Anyway, you have to daven softly. So what do I need this Gemara for? Anyway, I know you're mikat me'amuna. So there's a few answers to that question. So Dan Yaakov says, you're only mikat me'amuna if you speak louder than normal. If you listen, you're allowed to talk like a normal person. You give the davening like a normal person. But because of the idea of not expressing your sins, davening even softer than usual. That's how the Dan Yaakov answers the stira. That's one pshat. Dan Yaakov is another pshat where he says that it's only mikat me'amuna if you speak loud for tzrachim. Only when I need something, then I raise my voice and make sure Hashem hears me. Right? Only when I need something. But for vidui, that you should do quietly. So the two Gemaras are reconciled. Okay? Now, I saw a very interesting shaila in the Mishmer Shalom, which is the Kaidan of a Rebbe. So since my father is close with the Kaidan of a Rebbe and I have the Sefer, I was able to quote it. He said, let's say you daven in Shemoneh Esrei, and the guy next to you is davening quietly, but he's not so quiet. And you can hear every word he's saying. Should you answer Amen on the brachas of the guy sitting next to you? You're not supposed to hear him. What if you do hear him? Should you say Amen after the brachas? He says no. He says, it's in Siman Yud Aleph, Sif Gimel, Siman Yud Aleph, Sif Beis. Mistapkali, I have a suffix. This is an old rebbe, like from 100 years ago. He's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah a few times. Im echa mispal tefillah shmona esei belachash ksas. He's having a little quietly. I can hear everything he's saying. I can hear every end of his bracha. Im sarach lanos amen achar berchosav olo. Should I answer amen? V'daiti noted the enu mechoyev lamud v'lishma v'lanos amen. My gut tells me no. The efsher the yosher tov lechas misham. Go away from that guy. Im ach im mukrach lamud sham yana amen al brachas hashoshomea. If you can get out of there, get out of there. He explains in the bottom, get out of the suffix. Don't stand there. If you're standing there, I'm not sure what to tell you. So it's just, it's interesting. It comes up sometimes. Sometimes you're next to this guy, you can hear every word he's saying. It's too loud. Not supposed to hear. You're not supposed to hear someone else davening. But if you do it, what should you do? Should you say Amen? Right. But you know, so then you're saying it's Mar Zion. People are going to think you're saying. Right. Either way, it's a lose-lose, right? Okay. Next, Gufa. We just said, and we'll spend a few minutes on this. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Mishum Ben Yichai. If they might take the Tefillah Balachash, why would they mistake in Tefillah Balachash? Shalo Levayesh is Ovri Avera. Not to embarrass the Ovri Avera. You know what? Shari Lo Chalak HaKosav Makom Ben Chatas La Ola. There's no difference where you bring a Chatas, where you bring an Ola. For the same reason. We don't want to be Mavayesh people. We don't want to be embarrassed people. Okay, Gemara's going to ask that in a minute. V'lo? V'ikadamim? What do you mean? Achatos is sprinkled, the blood is put above or below? I don't remember which one's which. Oh, the Gemara's going to say, Dam chatos l'mayla, the dam of achatos is above the red line, above the midpoint of the mizbeach, v'dam ol l'mata, and the blood of an ol is below. So what do you mean you don't want to embarrass anybody? They're going to see. So the Gemara answers, nah, hasam kohen hu digad, only the kohen does it, nobody's watching that. Right? People only want to see the hype when it starts. Once it's shechted, people lose interest. So the Kohen's busy with it. So the Kohen taka knows. No one cares about it. It's too late. It's over the red. The hype is all over. Nobody's interested in that. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'ikah chatas nekeva, but a chatas is a female. V'ol is zochar, and ol is a male. So when they're parading the animal toward the mizbeach, everybody's watching. Is it a male or a female? And then they're going to know if it's an ol or a chatas, and the guy's going to be embarrassed. So the Gemara says, Hasam michsa ba'alya. No, it's covered with the tail. So nobody's going to, you know, if you're really that interested, you have to go make yourself very obvious to go look at that. So people don't look at that. People don't look so if you have a tail. So the Gemara says, Tinach kivsa. That makes sense if it's a sheep. But Seira, but if it's a goat, ma'ikalameimar, because goats don't really have tails. So what are you going to say? So the Gemara answers, Hasam ihu huk, he would come himself, nafshe. He did it to himself. The boyle latsuye kivsa. He should have bought a sheep, right? The car maisi siara, and he brought a goat. It's his own fault, right? It's his own fault. Who told you to bring it? Now, so the Gemara asks, wait a minute. B'chatas davodas kochavim de losagi de lav siira, but a chatas for avodas kochavim, you have to bring a goat. So now you're going to be embarrassed. So the Gemara says, Ma'ikal Neymar, what are you going to say to that? So the Gemara says, no, Hasam nichsav v'nezel. No, now we want him to be embarrassed. You know why? Kiyeche din achaprele, so it should be more of a kapara for him. We want him to be embarrassed, it should be more of a kapara. So Tosfos asked, if you want him to be so embarrassed, then you should make the place of a carbon, a vodazara carbon, in a separate place. So everybody will know that he's even more embarrassed. Right? If you want him to be embarrassed because it's such a grievous aveira, it's terrible aveira, avodah zara, even though it's pshogeg, but it's still terrible, that he should make the spot in the where it's shechted, a different spot. Everybody should know. He'll be more embarrassed. So Tosfos answers, no, he's embarrassed enough. That's what Tosfos basically answers. In the second Tosfos, v'yesh lomar, second Tosfos, kivad shechal hakasav b'davar echad, sheish heker b'davar, that it can only be a goat, Matzaruch Yoser. What do you need more for? So some of the Rishonim ask, but from the Gemara it's mashma. We want it to be as embarrassed as possible. So what do you mean it's embarrassed enough? No, we want to stick it to the guy. Right? So the Radal answers, because really, vidui takes place before Shechita. So once he says his vidui, from his angle, the kapara is done. So by shechting it in another place, you're embarrassing. That's not going to add to the kapara. Here, it's adding to the kapara. Having to parade a goat, and everybody sees it's a female, and everybody knows it's for Avodah Zarah. But once you go to the spot, he says his vidui already. So now what? Now you're going to take it to a separate spot so everybody can... That's just embarrassing without a purpose. So for that far, that's what Tosfos means. That far we don't go. As long as there's a kapara aspect to it, we'll do it. So while it's being paraded down the ramp, whatever it's going in the basement, that's fine. Because he didn't do a vidui yet. But once he does his vidui, he confesses it, his end is over. The kapara is over on his point. Now we have to check the animal. So it should make him more embarrassed. That doesn't serve any purpose. Doesn't serve any purpose. We don't do that to him. That's what Tosfos means. That's why it's enough. That's enough. All right, we'll stop here, and we'll continue tomorrow. Everybody have a very good day.